Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. Sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 699, Thor and the Thunder Bunnies, something like that.
I like that.
It's a Taika Waititi movie, so would it be crazy? No.
No. I mean, I'm like, why didn't they do that? Thor 5.
And it's actually a very sad movie. Thor and the Thunder Bunnies.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, because it's a riff on Watership Down. Yeah.
You see Natalie Portman's feet. Start crying.
Oh, is it a Quentin Tarantino movie?
Now that's interesting, because I was talking about JoJo's dead mother, which took sexually.
Weird.
That's not when I watched JoJo Rabbit. Not how I felt at that point. I bet Quentin does have confused feelings at that moment.
He's like, am I also into necrophilia? I don't know what to make of that. What?
Well, guys, this has been our last episode.
You know, the irony is, a little behind the scenes, we had some technical issues, and we actually had to start the episode over. And if it hadn't been for that, there would be no necrophilia jokes in this episode.
Well, hold on. We would have got there.
Maybe. But it's,
so you're welcome?
Yeah. I'm a glass half full kind of guy.
That's
so,
way to look at it.
And it's half full of embalming fluid.
Yeah. I shouldn't be talking. What am I doing? Man.
Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
I'm Matt F. Bosler, and I'm so sorry I talked before the introduction. I'm usually a very good guest, and I know what to do, but we had recorded, and now we're starting over, and so I was all discombobulated. It will not happen
again.
I'm
going to play back all that audio of when we talked before you introduced us on your show.
Yeah, that, so
yeah, you like it.
Pissed me off pretty bad.
Such a hypocrite. It explains your pizza party.
Liberty Truth Pizza. That's my other podcast.
It explains the existence of that podcast now. It's very on brand. I'm kicking myself for not having thought of it. Did you introduce yourself?
Oh, this is Kevin.
And this is Tom. There we go.
It's loosey-goosey now,
it's
man.
It's very loosey-goosey. So,
this is uncharted waters.
It is. So, yeah, normally when we forget to record, we don't find out until the end.
Yeah.
And then we're just like, sorry, Dan.
Yeah.
We're not going
get
back.
It next time.
To be fair, that happened one time in the first 50 episodes. We're on episode 699. So we have a pretty good track record.
Hey, 69.
Yeah. Hey, nice.
That's cool.
It's like 69.9, which is.
So there's another.
Hey,
person.
Another nine.
And that person, dead.
Oh, baby. And their feet are up by.
We didn't.
Other
I mean.
Person's head.
We didn't want to say why Joe wasn't here, but I guess since the cat's out of the bag.
Serious foot fetish addiction.
Yeah. So Joe, we should say Joe.
Checked in.
Joe last week, mere hours after recording, was like, "Oh, I have COVID."
By the way, guys.
Whoops. And he's like, but I'm a police officer, so we don't believe in that. And
this episode's crazy.
So he tested positive for COVID and then tested negative just in time to leave on his trip to the Bahamas.
Funny how that happens.
That's weird. And,
yeah. So,
funny how government officials can make that work.
I know. That's, but, so Kevin and I spent the whole week like, I wonder if we're going to die, which honestly would be the culmination of my sexual fetish, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be a happy ending in both senses of the word, or phrase. I know it's technically two words. Don't at me.
It's like the good word.
Right.
That's the whole Bible, not just one of the words out of there.
Oh, right.
Okay. But they took it collectively as the word.
The word. Okay. And yes, collectively the word of, what was it? sucking down feet or something?
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, dead feet. But,
Shameless Plugs is where you're at.
Oh, Shameless Plug. Kevin's like,
nothing shameless about this podcast.
Please move along. Shameless Plugs, don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and maybe leave us a review. Follow us so you don't miss an episode. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/RealSpoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. You could become a member of the League of Show Sharers simply by sharing an episode so your friends and or loved ones are also aware of the program. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia, Tammy Sherman Powers, Ralph Tribble, Julian Jordan, Ron Johnson, Heather Sachs, Lane Levanway, Christopher Rex, Travis Tewitt, Tom Dowdy, Chris Valls, Chris Magic Man, Joey Faubert, Brad Hyan, James Install, Linda Wright, L is Not Well, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Geek to Me Radio, David Rojas, In Session Film, Binge Movies, Invasion of the Remake, Ronnie Castle, Matt Naglia, Mike and Oscar, Minorities Report, and Feelin' Film. So thank you very much for sharing an episode. We greatly appreciate it. And finally, Patreon, patreon.com/RealSpoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and extra Matt F. Bassler.
It's mostly me.
He's the star of the Real Spoilers Patreon.
Which that comes in handy now because at my age, I pee a lot, so I can get up and leave for large stretches of time and you can just take over.
Well, and also, Matt saw the movie 2 days ago.
Yes.
And we saw it like two weeks ago.
We saw it 2 weeks ago, so you're going to have to help fill in a lot of the gaps. There's a superhero named, crap, what's the guy's name in this movie?
Thur?
Thur, that sounds right.
Thor.
Oh, that thing. See, this is why.
It doesn't sound right to me.
He's called Thor. There's two.
See, that's.
But the
there
one
were two?
But the one doesn't count because he's a girl.
And that's the message of the movie.
Right. Like, we all know that girl Thors don't count.
They kill her.
Yeah.
So don't worry.
Yeah. It's don't worry, misogynist.
Oh.
It's a one picture deal.
Thor's a girl now? No.
Dead.
So this movie is getting a lot of heat online, which is, it seems crazy to me. I get if you don't like a movie. That's fine. There's nothing wrong. Criticism, totally valid. I think I can see how people wouldn't like this movie. Now, I know we all three loved it. I just know we all loved it.
Oh, no.
If you've been online the past week of this movie's release, it's not just like, oh, this is middling Marvel, which, like, I can see if you're saying this is average, right? There's a lot better Marvel movies. There are some other ones, like, I think Thor's been a part of them, that are like, yeah, that was forgettable. It's not that great. But someone online said that this is, without hyperbole, they said this is the worst movie they've seen in over a decade.
And can I explain my tweet?
Like, I get if you just didn't like the movie, and I'll ask you in a second, Matt, what that means for you. But
until then, stay in your lane.
Yeah, please.
That's what he's saying.
I know you've been introduced, but let's pump the brakes.
Yeah.
But this movie, while not everything worked in it, I think it's far from a terrible movie. Like, these people are, again, without hyperbole, saying this movie is a 1 out of 10, if that's the lowest they can give it. You cannot like a movie and say some things didn't work and it's not a 1. Movies don't have to be a 1 or a 9 or 10 out of 10.
You on the Twitter.
There's no self-awareness. People, like, they can't reflect, and they're literally saying this is one of the worst movies they've ever seen, which, no way, right? Like,
that's bonkers.
There's no way this is the worst movie you've ever seen or even in the past decade. And one person even prefaced it, I know you're going to say watch more movies, but If you're saying this is the worst movie you've seen in a decade,
and I would say watch a movie.
Yeah, what other option is there? It's just objectively, like, and they're even saying it looks flat or bad composition or whatever. But, like, there's some good visual effects.
It's
stuff
a pretty
movie.
Movie.
Good colors. There's some good action sequences I thought were really good.
It was in stereo.
Yeah, oh, 5.1 yeah. if you go to the fancy theaters.
Yeah, I don't got that kind of cash.
Who cares? But Kevin says last freaking minute, Matt, you have to see this movie.
Matt, I gave you 3.5 days to see the movie. It wasn't even out yet. So, like, it's not even like you were like, oh, man, they're all sold out.
Hey, wait,
already.
That's a good point. I couldn't go the day you asked me to go. So that's less. But anyway. So I'm like, oh, I got so much work to do, but Real Spoilers needs me. I can't not do this. So I tried to go as early as I could. No descriptor, right? I'm on Fandango or whatever.
Fandango.
That's it.
Remember? They used to have the bags. What happened to
the
those
talking
guys?
Bags? Loved those guys. Yeah. So it's they're all listed. It's like, oh, IMAX, this and this and this. And then there's one at 10 o'clock. It doesn't really say anything.
Reserved seats.
All it said.
And you were like, great. I can reserve a seat. That's exactly what I'm looking
for. I
want
to reserve a seat. So I click it. I do it. I buy the ticket. I don't know how much a ticket costs.
You click it and take it.
What could a banana cost $10?
Oh,
you know
go
what
to
saying?
Marcus, was it $18?
It was.
Yeah.
And I go in and I sit down. And first of all, this ain't a dream lounger.
No.
This is terrible. I'm sitting.
It's a nightmare lounger.
Yeah. I'm sitting
the
bolt
ball,
upright.
The ballpark, just a
yeah. It's a lawn chair, and I look at the lady to my right, and I go, "Well, those are a weird pair of glasses."
Oh, jeez.
I look to my
left.
I
didn't know this movie was in 3D.
It's wild, right? They rarely.
You can spoil the movie. Don't spoil my story.
Oh, okay. No one knew what he was
building.
Saying
that. Yeah. I was building.
So go on your left. They had the same.
That guy's got the same weird glasses.
Must have been a sale.
One line away from the big pop right here. It's 3D.
Oh.
And I don't want that.
Yeah, 3D's the worst.
I don't want to see that.
It's the worst.
You're going to get complaint mail from Heather Sachs, though.
She
loves 3D?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's entitled to her opinion, but it's wrong.
To her opinion?
Yeah. It's wrong. There's no such thing as a wrong opinion, but in Heather's case, we'll make an exception.
I put these dumb dark glasses on.
Yeah.
And in the movie, and they start with like this, like, "Ooh, welcome to Marcus." Well, funny thing, when that guy, Marcus Man, Mr.
Yeah.
Marcus.
Yeah.
When
Greg
goes,
Marcus?
When he goes, like, yeah. "You won't have to deal with this." And someone laughed.
Wait a minute, did they skip the video on purpose? I haven't seen that one.
Yeah,
I don't go as much to Marcus.
Yeah, he does a thing where he's just like, and you know, unlike, you don't have to watch it on your phone. And then he's like, and then they make
shrinks.
It real small. And he's like, "Hey, I'm over here."
Yeah.
And then it's and you don't have to worry about the movie buffering.
And somebody loved it.
During the past 2 years, I watched a lot of movies at home, right? Because the theaters, remember, they weren't open for a while. I rarely had a problem watching a movie. But anyway, please.
Well, so
hilarious bit. Go on.
They start with like the like, "Look, this thing's in 3D," and like the shapes are flying around, and I'm like, okay, this is 3D. And I in 5 minutes of the movie, the effect is like gone for me.
Same.
I just can't.
Yeah. And 3D doesn't work for me at all. Like I never am like, what am I great? But what little bit it does, I can see depth sometimes.
Yeah.
My favorite usage of 3D was Coraline, because it looked like you could just reach in and pick them up, but after like 5 minutes, it's just
like
it's wearing
a couple.
It's like wearing a hat, you know. Like after like 5 minutes, you can't tell that you got a hat.
It's
on
a hat on a hat.
Yeah,
movies are 3D already. Like they're already. I know that.
There's
Thor's
depth,
not
right?
a flat man.
Right,
I get it.
There's some cool ones. There are some cool ones. The ones that are filmed in 3D. And the ones that are computer generated, so they can make the 3D whatever, because it exists in
like
that
animated,
computer.
Yeah,
yeah. The CGI movies, they can increase the depth and make it work perfect for the technology. There's been a couple post conversions that were impressive, but most of the post conversions are bad. Like what was that Clash of the Titans?
That was worse. And the only reason that movie made money because it came out like 3 weeks
after
Avatar,
and everyone was like, "3D's the
I
best
need
thing
3D.
ever."
And it's like,
oh my god,
yeah.
That movie was so bad.
You would have never gotten Wrath of the Titans if it hadn't been for the 3D bump from Avatar.
So did you get you got your glasses in time? You ran out to go.
I got them.
You were at Minions?
Oh, if only.
That's an awful movie.
That movie's making billions of dollars.
And that movie was horrible. I do not, but I hate the Minions.
Well, it couldn't have been worse than this movie. the worst movie I've ever seen.
Okay, so for 3D in this movie, I'm just curious. Like, do they like hold the hammer out and wave it at you?
There's
like,
what were some added of the scenes where Thor goes, ooh, what if I held my hammer? No, I nothing.
What were, you
I
couldn't
mean,
tell what the big ones
I,
were.
No,
just
truly. I mean,
generally everything was kind of, yeah.
Once I'm like, yeah, 5 minutes in, it's just a movie again. And
okay. Well, I will say they rarely show 3D. And I think, so the first time I saw 3D, especially since the pandemic in like 2 years, was Doctor Strange.
Right.
And I knew there was an Avatar trailer before Doctor Strange. I'm like, oh, they're priming the pump. Hey, remember 3D's a thing? So they brought it back here for Doctor Strange. Now, I know some other places never really lost it, apparently, but we don't hardly ever see it. So Matt found the one 3D theater in St. Louis. Somehow he just happened to.
Accidentally.
But they're, I mean, that Avatar movie is going to come out, and they want it to be another $3 per ticket, and that is hundreds of millions of dollars over the run, if it's as successful as the first one. So, okay, well, interesting
to
know.
Did you guys, was the first time you saw 3D, and there's like the glasses bin to toss them in, were you like, well, I'm going to keep these? Because I was. When I saw Avatar, I was like,
when Avatar came out, they actually had like a promo item that were like more like real sunglasses.
Oh, cool.
That, you know.
Yeah, I kept all the special ones. They did it for when.
No, I mean, these were given out to like movie reviewers and stuff. They were like Ray-Ban type sunglasses that they would fold over and not. Yeah, because for a while they were doing like the themed ones.
Yeah, the like Avengers did. There was Iron Man, Iron Patriot. They did for whatever Avengers it was, the first or second. And those were cool to collect because it's like I wouldn't give back an Iron Man looking pair of 3D glasses. That was cool.
I would throw them away so fast.
Yeah.
Now I just don't care.
Okay. So anyway, okay. So the point is, I don't understand the like. You go to this movie, you have some laughs. I think it's entertaining enough. There's visuals. I think there's some really good dramatic stuff. When they weren't throwing all the jokes at the wall, right? Like, the comedy doesn't always hit, but I think there are some laughs. I think some of the dramatic stuff between Jane and Thor is good. Like, there's stuff to enjoy about this movie. I don't think it's the worst movie ever made, but like, what do you think, Matt? You didn't like it as much as Tom and I.
No.
And why not?
I think the humor, the Marvel brand of humor in this movie is particularly embarrassing and bad. and it feels to me like this movie is a parody of the Marvel brand of comedy. Like, when it is happening, it's like they're doing like a YouTube sketch
of Marvel comedy.
And then when those screaming goats, love them. Every time.
It's funny.
Give me those screaming goats. But yeah, when it's the like, you're really gonna do that? Or I guess we're going there. Or well, that kind of stuff. The like, keep talking after a thing happens.
Well, like the Guardian stuff from the beginning. Didn't work for me, and I love the Guardians. I think, and you know what? James Gunn wrote the Guardians movies, and Taika Waititi wrote the Guardians in this movie.
I felt like all the Guardian stuff felt like season four of Community when Dan Harmon was no longer writing it, and it was like, these are the right people, and they're saying the words, and it just doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, you've got a different director. I mean, I didn't look this up, but I can tell you from the way it felt that wasn't James Gunn directing or writing that scene. Like, it just wasn't.
And you think that Taika, Mr. Waititi, is the problem might be the wrong word, but
I love Taika Waititi
because I think he's very What We Do in the Shadows, very funny.
Oh my gosh,
those all Wilder people laughing all day long.
Does that get better? I've watched like the first four episodes and I'm just like, it's okay.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it does. I
love people
love
it, and I just started watching it and it was just kind of like,
Is that my favorite thing of his? But I like it.
But that movie.
I'm talking about the show.
But the movie is awesome, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
The movie's so good. Like, show aside, like, the movie, Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah, JoJo's.
JoJo Rabbit is really good. I mean, I know that was polarizing, but it was a good movie.
Was it really? I honestly didn't know that. I'm surprised. JoJo's so good.
Yeah, you've got people that just can't get past the premise of that you would make fun of Hitler, like. Not that you'd make fun of him, that you would use him as comedy when the situation. Do you think that Waititi, because he's done so many great funny things and Ragnarok was a big hit, they just gave him free reign and didn't check him
I wondered if maybe there is like a Marvel brand humor, and like somebody else comes in and is
like they have for the action parts. Like the director handles the dramatic stuff, but they've got a team that'll handle the action, and you just get out of the way.
Or like they have the scene. Whatever, Thor and someone hanging out, and then someone comes in and is like, well, could he like really point out that he put a hole in the ceiling? Like, you know,
I don't know. So what I've read in doing some research for this movie, and a lot of this information comes from Natalie Portman in interviews. She says that there is so much stuff that got cut, like going to other planets, other characters. She said that she was amazed there's so much good stuff in this movie because they ended up cutting a whole bunch of really good stuff. So apparently Taika Waititi films tons and tons of stuff. And then in another interview, she says that improv, actually, we know that he likes to just film a lot of improv because he's, you know, comedian, and he likes to work with people that can improv like Hemsworth. But she says that their improv actually informed the story, actually informed plot points. And now I'm sure there's a plan, like Feige isn't just like do whatever, it's just Marvel, right? Like, but I think that within the, you know, their approval process or whatever, they filmed so much stuff that it actually, like, they were improvising plot points apparently, which
I don't know what that means.
I don't know how that works, but
or to what level that
right
means.
Or maybe she's over I don't know exactly, but Waititi says that he finds the film in the cutting room. So he has so much footage, and he kind of just shapes the movie. So like the actors didn't even really know what would end up in the movie because they filmed so much. Christian Bale, Gore the God Butcher himself, he says that there were scenes with Peter Dinklage. Like, remember, he's the one that crafted Stormbreaker for Thor in... Was it Endgame or no, Infinity War?
It's Infinity War.
Is it? Okay.
Because then, yeah, that's when he sticks him in the chest. And he's like, you should have cut my head off.
That was it. That was a great Brolin. So he had scenes with Peter Dinklage and Goldblum, his character from Ragnarok.
Okay.
The Grandmaster.
Yeah.
So he filmed with Goldblum and Dinklage, who those are two big names. Like, you wouldn't think, like, hey, be in this Marvel movie. Oh, you're just not in it, right?
Yeah.
So that's how much, when they got to the cutting room, they were cutting out name actors from the movie. So it's very weird to think that you have this big production and they would let him just film so much stuff and pay big actors to be in it,
right,
and allow him to just cut it out. So it makes me think that Waititi really has a ton of control, and I'm sure Feige says, like, absolutely not that part, and you got to get us to here. But I think that ends up ultimately being the problem, and why I understand people not loving this movie, not everyone universally, because it feels a little messy. It feels a little bit like, you know, here, let's have this for the laughs and this for the laughs, and this is funny. And then you, boom, get into some dramatic stuff, which is really good by its own right. But you're going back and forth to jokes so much that there's just something a little jarring.
I think in this, too, and maybe in Ragnarok, too, a little bit, they're going that way. But I do think there is sort of a problem of, like, well, is Thor a dumb moron, or is he a good leader, smart guy? And I'm fine with, like, some, right, you know, you're having fun. But, like, when he's talking to the Asgardians in the little, right after all the kids got kidnapped or whatever, and he's just being, like, so dumb. And
it's probably been a long time since anyone's watched it, but we've all seen the original Thor.
Yeah.
That movie was funny, and I'm going to sound like, this is what the haters are saying, I just don't think it affects this movie as much as they're saying, but if you do remember, Thor was a fish out of water story.
Yeah, it's a fish out of water
story.
It was
funny because he was a fish out of water. It wasn't funny because he was a big dum-dum. He just didn't know human culture, but he was still very, like, serious and had good dramatic moments and was a leader and everything.
It was Splash.
Yeah. I mean, really, it was the humor.
I'm sorry, Shape of Water.
The kids.
Yeah.
So I think that when Ragnarok reshaped him, and I do think Ragnarok's very funny, but they latched onto that.
The balance is, to me, fine in Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's better balanced, at least. When I saw Ragnarok, I thought it was a little bit too jokey, and I was like, okay, I get it, but, like, the constant need for jokes, it was a little much, but you're right, there was a balance. And this one now, because it's all for the jokes, like, in the Guardians stuff, it's like, I am so glad he's not with the Guardians, and I hope they don't put them back together, because it wears thin. It's like, he's just so dumb with Peter, like, you know, it's funny, like, oh, Quill, I stole your ship and I'm the leader of your team now and all this. Like, that was funny for a joke, like a throwaway right. joke. But when they're trying to make it, like, is he really that dumb that he thinks he can just take over the whole Guardians team?
But
like,
he's just two different guys. Yeah. Now. And
is he nice or is he a jerk?
I mean,
is he dumb?
I will say he is a god. So he's not really used to hearing
well,
the word no.
This movie has also made me really question, what does that mean
right.
even more?
And I think there's an interesting discussion there, too, right? Like, are the gods good or are they, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, because you in old literature and the writing about gods, it's like there's these all-powerful gods and people worship them and some of them are good and some of them are bad. And in this movie, we get like Zeus, he's a straight-up a-hole. And all the gods are like, hey, there's a god killer. We're going to hide here and protect ourselves. We're not going to save anybody. And, you know, so I think there's something interesting rather than just make the gods be like these powerful superhero type good guys. It's like, well, wait a minute. You've got Thor, who's a god of sorts, right? And then you've got Zeus. And look at the difference in what gods can be, right?
Well, Gore prayed to Goldblood Man,
yeah,
whatever.
Of course, yeah.
Could that guy have done anything? Like, does he receive is Thor receiving prayers all the time?
Well, I don't think Thor's a real god like that. I don't think.
Okay, but Odin,
like,
is?
I think it's questionable.
Kevin the theologian.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I think it's questionable. Like, I haven't seen those movies in a long time, but the way they set it up made it seem like people mistook them for gods.
Okay,
they're kind of super powered beings, but they're not gods like Zeus is a god. They have powers and resemble a god, and so Asgardians treat them as quote unquote gods. I don't think they're the same prayer type gods.
But Zeus and Goldblood Man from the beginning are that.
Who's a what okay. we do in the shadows guy? John.
I just when they bring in Daredevil, he's gonna have some things to deal with his Catholicism and
yeah, right.
Was that when they said the god of carpentry was
yeah.
that was Jesus hanging out there?
I think that was what they were saying,
because I'm gonna say I
totally missed that, because that
there was a sign or something that said like there's like a place for the god of carpentry.
Valkyrie or something I think might say it, like, there's, okay. there's the god of carpentry.
Johnny,
I would reevaluate how she's, well I thought the jokes worked,
like,
if I had heard that one.
Points yeah. off screen.
But Johnny Brugge, B-R-U-G-H. He's the other, you know, there's Jermaine Clement, Taika Waititi, and Johnny are the three vampires in What We Do in the Shadows. And
yeah.
Anyway, so he's the god in the very beginning of the movie, and Waititi uses his people, and that's great. But yeah, Gore goes to him, and he's lost his daughter. Like, we see his young, you know, she's probably 10 or something. His young daughter's died. They're walking through the desert. All their people are dead. He's praying to this god, and he gets to this, what appears like, I thought it was a mirage at first, but it's actually an oasis, and the gods are feasting, and there's, you know, the women with harps, and they're feeding the god, and it looks great. And Gore gets there, and the guy's like, screw you, you're dead, like, just die. Like, he's like, what are you talking about? I've been praying to you, we've worshiped you to the very end, like, you have to help us. And he's like, no, we can finally, like, move on with our lives and get new followers now that all the old ones are wiped out. Like, he's just a total jerk.
I don't understand that marketing principle.
Mm-mm.
Like, I need all my fans to die so I'm free to create new ones.
That's the life of an influencer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't exactly get it, but main point is like, okay, these gods are jerks. They're showing us right away. But so Gore, he loses his faith here, obviously, and you see that someone just tried to kill this god. And so you see this dead body on the ground, and there's a sword next to it, and come to find out that's the Necro Sword. Now, the Necro Sword in the comics has tie-ins with...
That's a sword that likes to have sex with dead people.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the hilt is a foot.
Oh,
I don't know if you caught that detail.
So the Necro Sword is
on.
The Necro Sword is actually made from like a symbiote in the comics, and so it ties in with Sony Marvel stuff. So
gotcha.
There's rights issues, so they don't really do it in this one. This one it looks like a regular.
The last thing the MCU wants is to have one more tether to all that Sony
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, they were just like, they weren't like, hey, let's make a deal. They were like, no, the Necro Sword isn't a symbiote anymore. Like,
doesn't need to be. It's
but,
fine.
Yeah. So, but this sword gives whoever holds it power and kind of takes over control of them. So as soon as there's this connection, and it calls to Gore and says, like, slay him, kill the god. And so he gets the sword. It actually, like, he like pulls it to him as the god is choking Gore. It pulls it to him and he's able to slice his head off. And then you see that it like tells him to kill all gods and get and exact your revenge. And so that's where we're set off. And I think Gore is a terrifying villain. As many stakes as there have been with the aliens trying to take over Earth and Thanos trying to wipe half the population out, like there's stakes there, but they weren't as intimidating to me, where I think Gore really nails that. And in the performance by Bale, who plays this character straight, you know, he's not doing the jokey improv thing that Watiti's doing with everyone else. Like, he is a straight-up villain, and he's scary.
He's a spooky man.
Yeah, it was definitely had more of a horror movie vibe, and yeah. I feel like it needed that balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they were smart to not let him be like a wacky villain.
Because easily, I'm sure, and you know, Christian Bale probably, he's a good enough actor where, like, if you're getting Christian Bale and he wants to play it this way, like, you're not going to be like, no, just throw some jokes in there.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He wanted to play it
seriously. I'd say he's definitely one of the best, like, one-shot villains they had.
I think he's a memorable villain. He doesn't have the size, which is, you know, if you're going to go up against Chris Hemsworth at the most bulked up we've ever seen him, I think that's visually that can be a hard thing. But because he's so intimidating and he draws the strength from the Necro Sword, I think he built up a scary enough and commanding enough villain to when they do face off, you're like, yeah, man, this is, you know, right? It doesn't seem like,
oh, if Thor just gets his hands on him, it's over. Like, I didn't feel that way.
So props to him because he's a lot smaller, but he built the character up and it was scary. I mean, this character, Gore, lives in the shadows and he's kidnapping all the kids of New Asgard and he's creepy. He appears in the shadows and he's terrifying them and he's got this black ooze coming out of his mouth. Like, he's a really creepy guy where you're like, I don't want to mess with him.
He's grody.
Basically, Thor's running with the Guardians. He's screwing stuff up, so they're happy to get away from him. Lady Sif, who Jamie Alexander, who wasn't in Ragnarok, she calls him up and says, hey, I'm in, there's this guy coming after all the gods. So he parts ways. The Guardians are like, thank God, get him away from us. And they do that, you know, like the humor there just doesn't work with that whole hanging on. Like, you look at the people that love you, like Pratt's trying to be serious and Thor's looking at him like, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's just weird.
Well, and even in that whole joke thing, they're inconsistent with, like, does Thor want Quill to love him or does he not care? I don't know. It's just like, I don't like the thing where it's like anything for the laugh. Like,
we'll
abandon a character.
And that's why I can see the complaints. I get it. Like, this movie, some people are comparing it to like skits stitched together, and I can see that because clearly they're going for the funny moment, not the character-driven moment. But I think that other stuff's in there too, but it does get overshadowed by the jokes. But you have Thor, who is questioning, I think, his place of, like, you know, I'm a guy. Like, the whole thing in the beginning is him trying to find his purpose. Like,
that's kind of what he does every Thor movie.
True. But, you know, it's like he's a god, or he was raised as a god, and then he's coming to help the people of Earth, and then, you know, he's out of shape and depressed in Endgame, and so he's trying to get back to where he was. So he's doing all the workouts, and he's meditating when he's not helping the Guardians, and so Thor's struggling with that reality. But also, this movie called Love and Thunder, we know now it has dual meanings, but Watiti kind of makes it a rom-com, but it also is a lot about it of him and Jane's breakup. And he's trying to figure out, like, who he is without her now and without having any love in his life. Meanwhile, Jane, we find out, has been excelling in academics. I think she gets, like, a Nobel Prize or something. But she finds out she has stage 4 cancer.
Which was an improv. They had to write around it.
Yeah, that was pretty big deal. But, you know, she's Natalie Portman, so, you know, got to go with it. But she finds out she has stage 4 cancer. So, like, her time is very limited. She's exhausted all of her medical options. She's going to chemo. We see Darcy, who we hadn't seen since WandaVision.
That was, in particular, a scene I thought was awful.
Really?
Like, acting-wise and joke-wise.
I like Darcy. I think she's...
I liked Darcy. I like Kat Dennings a lot, but...
You didn't work for you.
I like her. I mean, I like her in the other movies. That scene in particular felt... Maybe it did. Felt like it was very loosely scripted, and they're just like, what's more important than chemo? I don't know.
I can see. I think that's where the tone, it's weird because there's so much seriousness, but again, they find the need to put jokes.
It felt like a high school sketch or something.
Gotcha. So she's exhausted.
And again, I do think they're both fine actors.
Yeah, no, totally. It's something about the balance of seriousness, which I think there's some really good dramatic moments, but they always have to undercut the seriousness with a jokey joke. And I think that's where they, if they could maybe pull that back a little bit, because there is some funny stuff, but there's also some dramatic stuff that maybe shouldn't be undercut, and mm-hmm. it makes the tone a little jarring. So she's exhausted all her medical options. She calls, we see Eric Selvig or whatever, who's Stellan Skarsgård, because Sarsgaard is, sorry, he's not a Skarsgård. That's how we remember that.
That's how you remember that. I make no effort to
even try
at all. Don't care.
So he's a cameo. He calls in on a FaceTime and says, sorry, I've analyzed whatever. You know, there's nothing you can do. And so Jane looks to magic, which she never has in the past. She didn't ever want to try to, you know, go and ask for Thor's help and all that. She wanted to solve it with science, or all her problems with science. But now there's nothing left. And so she sees a book, and it's like the Norse book, and there's a picture of the world tree, and, you know, she's going to go try to Thor it up. And so she goes to New Asgard. We see Tessa Thompson as King Valkyrie, and she's running New Asgard. They've taken in all the people from when Asgard was exploded, and so they're doing their whole thing there. And Jane, we find out in a flashback later that she went to the hammer. Mjolnir is the pieces of it that Hela broke are all in this like display thing, like you'd see at a museum. They're like, here's the hammer
that they like dug out around it. I thought that
was
really
it's cool. Like where it was, or
because they say it was hella broke
yeah. So
it sounds like me.
so we find out that these pieces start, you know, and Mjolnir only could be wielded by those who are worthy.
Also, she does say later that she heard Mjolnir call to her, which was important to me, because I thought her just going to, well, maybe I can pick up that hammer, felt really stupid to me. I was glad there was at some point like a, get kind of called out to me to go. That felt
they
better.
They pulled her to
to than just like her randomly saying, well, I don't know,
and
maybe.
We get a lot of flashbacks where I didn't expect, again, with the romantic comedy part, we get a lot of like flashbacks of the relationship. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect that from this, but, you know, remember Jane was around Thor for many years and Mjolnir, and the hammer and Stormbreaker kind of have this sentience about them, which is interesting. And so I think from them spending time together, Mjolnir realized, even though she's a human, that she is worthy, you know, worthy enough to wield it. So that's how we end up getting the mighty Thor. But the hammer, meanwhile, when she transforms, is like, it's not allowing her body to heal the cancer or anything. Like, it's taking all the power she has left. And so she's, you know, the time is ticking. The more she uses it, the less time she has left. And so she has to decide. There's that struggle of, do I use these last moments to try to save the world and do all this stuff, even though it means my death? Or should I just try to stay in bed? And, you know, clearly in this type of movie, she's not going to just be like, well, got to heal, you know. So you've got that going on. And oh, and then Gore, like, Gore's another complicated villain where it's like, he's not just mustache twirling. He was betrayed. Everything he knew was praying to these gods, and he found out his gods don't care about him. And so, you know, he wants to take out all the gods with the Necro Sword's influence. But it's like, that's kind of like, I mean, you get it, right? Like,
well, and that, I do think that's important too, right? Because his whole plan is like pretty dumb, or it just doesn't. Because he's going to go make one wish for whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he is corrupted by this sword, I think, is... Because there were times in the movie I'm like, well, why wouldn't he just wish to, like, be a god? Or, like, there's so many more practical wishes where you don't have to kill everybody.
Well, but the sword...
But that's what I'm saying. Like, because, I don't know, people say that about, like, Thanos all the time, that, like, his plan is so dumb. And it's like, well, he's a psychopath. He's not a normal thinking, like, there's something wrong with Thanos. He's not thinking practically. Like,
but I think you're supposed to not agree with him, but, like, you're supposed to see his side.
Oh, totally. Right? And, but you're right. But so, yeah, what I'm saying is, like, the fact that the sword is, like, corrupting him does make his thing, I think,
make more sense.
Marvel is pretty good about making a thing make sense.
And
with a pretty quick, like, line or two.
Yeah,
usually,
yeah, in
right?
context,
like,
of the character.
And
I think they're also good about giving the villains, like, motivation, where you're just like, you can at least on some level see how they arrived at that point of view, instead of just, I'm evil and must destroy the universe.
And
it's like, but you're in the universe. Like, that's
where you live.
Seems ill-advised.
So, yeah, so you kind of get his thing. So like Matt mentioned, there's Eternity lives at the center of the universe. And in the comics, there's Eternity and Infinity. And these two make up all of life, everything that we know. And so if you get to Eternity, your prize is basically one wish, whatever you want. And so he is going to make his job easier. Instead of going around slicing throats all across the universe, he's just going to say, death to all gods. Boom, it's done. One wish, and it's done. So Thor has to stop him from killing all the gods. That's the quest the movie goes on. So I was reading, and apparently, and I don't remember this, I guess it's in one of the other movies that I just forgot, Mjolnir apparently goes to Jane because he enchanted it to protect her no matter what. So there is some
kind of... He says it in this movie. He's like on the couch and he...
So that's in a flashback.
But he's saying that he doesn't remember hearing that prior to this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, someone said it's in a movie? It is?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched the movies in a long time, so maybe it was just thrown in a flashback, which that would maybe make more sense. But
yeah, they're like on the couch and he's saying, always protect her, and then it like glows.
Okay, so that was a kind of a retcon to make this all make sense. So another reason why she is worthy, but it's because he also imbued it with that secret power.
He gifted it to her.
Exactly. So Gore shows up at New Asgard and a fight goes down. I thought it was a pretty good fight. There's a few really good action sequences in this movie. This is the one where we first see the mighty Thor. So Thor comes to save the day and fighting along Valkyrie. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jane shows up. Well, he sees Mjolnir. I thought it was a pretty good scene. That was comedic
that's
beat.
That's funny.
Yeah. Mjolnir appears to him. He's like, yeah, slow motion, I'm going to get it. And it whizzes right past him, lands in Jane's hand. And then he's introduced to her. And while they're fighting, he has to also be like, what the hell is going on here? I haven't seen you in years. We broke up. Now you're Thor, my mantle. And, you know, there's a good scene. He's trying to like outdo her and upgrade his suit and stuff. You know, there's a good... I think you can be funny without undermining what was going on. You know?
One of the better...
Good action scenes. They're kicking ass. Gore commands this legion of shadow monsters. So another really scary thing about his power and his presence is it's kind of unpredictable, right? So they're coming out of the shadows, and these monsters are fighting them, and they keep coming. Eventually, they kidnap all the children, which I guess Gore's plan is to lure them to
Gore's him. Ultimate plan is to lure Thor to him so he can get Stormbreaker.
That's right. Because
he needs Stormbreaker's Bifrost power to open this doorway to Eternity.
Got it. So he can't face off against Thor maybe head to head, so he has to lure him into the trap. So you get that, and they go to Omnipotent City or something. Omnipotent City is the name of the city.
I was going to say, that's so close that now I won't be able to think of what it actually is.
So this is where you get Zeus. And I mean, this is another polarizing thing, right? So you've got all the DC fanboys are like, look at Snyder's flash when they show Zeus or whatever in one of the movies. And, you know, he's ripped and he looks like a...
But that's the joke, right?
Like right.
And I think casting Russell Crowe is perfect because... Russell Crowe used to
be
super ripped, and it's like
kind of like a washed up god.
Like
thing.
This god has basically sequestered himself in this world of where he just all of his most hedonistic desires are fed, and so he's no longer built
the
like
Zeus
that.
You remember, right?
He's still got his powers. Like, you know, if you meet, you know, Jake LaMotta at age 60, is he fat? Yes. If he punches you in the face, are you going to get dropped like college algebra? Absolutely.
I thought it was an interesting choice. He's doing a real Greek accent. I mean,
is that? I don't know what Greek.
But that's what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's trying.
I believe you. I was just asking. Right. Like, yeah.
It's jarring because when we see Zeus in media, he just sounds like a commanding.
Yeah.
Or a lot of time
English speaking.
You get that default. Everybody foreign has an English accent.
Yeah,
that
sure.
We do.
So it was played, and I think. I think it was played more for laughs, but it's like he's a Greek god, so he gave him a Greek accent. I thought that was an interesting choice.
That
right?
makes total sense.
And but we're not used to it because we see Zeus just being like, "I'm going to kill you." Like he just speaks
Do you feel like in like film criticism that anytime someone's doing an accent, people have to say that it's bad? Like, somebody has to be like, "That's the worst." Blah, blah, blah.
Based on experience,
and maybe I'm just not smart. I don't know, but I had read that maybe before I saw it or something, but I was like, this is fine. I mean, it's like silly, but I don't think he's trying to be the most authentic. People say it about Butcher and the Boys all the time. Yeah. They're like, that's the worst. And I'm like, maybe it's not perfect, but like, I get it. I know what's
great.
Going on.
He's great. Carl Urban's great in that show. I've never once thought, oh, that wasn't, I'm just like, oi.
Yeah, right. Oy.
Yeah, it's great.
And I've heard, I mean, I know, like, I'll hear Tom Holland say stuff kind of weird, but I don't know. It
but
doesn't
you don't
bother.
Let it be, yeah, I know.
Like, it's, people talk weird. It's not a, yeah.
I think it's just another thing where because they're kind of turning the character into the joke, which it is the joke, and there's a reason, like Tom explained, of why this whole thing exists, but they're just like, see, it has to be a joke. Here's this super strong character that's always painted as such a badass, but now he's just a joke.
I didn't like that when Zeus was like, we're going to schedule the orgy, and then Valkyrie was very non-sex positive by being like, that sucks. I don't like that. Because they're talking about a consensual orgy.
To the best of our knowledge.
And that's fine. And yeah. That's, and you shouldn't say that that's, because it's a different, and then he says the next thing.
I don't
thing
think
that
a family-friendly Disney property should be sex-shaming.
Thank you.
Consenting orgies.
Thank you.
Yeah. There you go. See, the biggest complaint, there's your valid complaint.
I will have to point out some Kevin bias. You're not always aware of this, and I'm going to point it out to you, though, yeah. Is that you've completely skipped over Melissa McCarthy. Because I know how much...
We don't have time for that.
How much love you have of Melissa McCarthy.
I do really like this part.
And Ben Falcone.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God, they even got her husband to be like the stagehand or whatever. So in the
yeah. What a team.
Yeah, like that seems very on brand.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Like, are they
he's
saying,
only in it for a glimpse, but he's ready.
But are they saying like,
I didn't
these
even
two
see
people
him.
Work together? It sucks.
I didn't even see, yeah, I know. I didn't even see him on the screen. I just saw his name in the credits and I was like, oh, I guess that makes
yeah.
sense. That
oh, yeah. For he, us, when the stage falls, whatever, at the end of the play, he's yeah. there on the side. You see yeah. him. Because I was looking for him. Like, did they put him in here? So the one of the very funny parts of Ragnarok is the recreation, the telling of the story of Thor. Every movie tells, or I guess there's been two, but they're telling the story from the movie before, and they get Sam Neill as Odin, Matt Damon is playing Loki, and Luke Hemsworth.
Yeah, I don't...
Luke Hemsworth is playing Thor, which is very funny. So in this one, they're retelling Ragnarok, so they get Melissa McCarthy to be Hela, and I thought it was funny. I enjoyed it. It was a funny little retelling.
I think it's actually like a truly good. There's a better word than good, but good way to like what happened to the hammer. I mean, it's been a minute, yeah, right? Yeah. Since Ragnarok,
it's effective. Like,
it was a smart way without showing us a flashback
right. yeah.
to actually tell the audience.
And it, like, as far as like funny things and like what I think is definitely like a Taika Waititi thing, like the world building of showing the new Asgard and like the infinity
cones
mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
That's getting crap too.
Really?
There's people, okay, infinity cones is a play on words of infinity stones. People are going, oh yeah, let's build this funny monument to a ruler that killed all these people and wiped out half the, like, it's just a funny throwaway yeah. gag.
Oh, and but that's such a, to me, that's like, that's what like corporate stuff is.
Would
like,
do. Let's
cash
in on the infinity, yeah.
Yeah, they're.
But also, Iron Man saved half the planet with the Infinity Gauntlet. You can say both ways. The Infinity, yeah, it was terrible what Thanos did, but Iron Man saved them with it. So,
right.
like, but
we have a 9/11 memorial.
Yeah.
And ice cream shop.
Right.
I guess the fact
yeah, there is a gift shop in the 9/11 yeah. memorial. Yeah.
I think the point is you can find anything to like, right. you can, I mean, it's just ridiculous. But it's
the
a
thing
funny
I don't
plan
like
where,
about yeah. the little fake play they do is that Disney Plus has already announced the new series. Falcon and Winter Soldier. So
well, yeah, he's not Falcon anymore, so yeah.
Well, so who's gonna take the mantle?
Ben Falcone.
Oh,
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
So I did like that. I liked that they were all back. I do like that we actually got to see the actors. Some people theorize those were actually Matt Damon and Sam Neill, like in this world, and no, they're Asgardian actors, which I thought
they want to do the play. They want to do the play of the kids getting
yeah,
they have accents. They yeah. have like British accents. Yeah.
So I do like that. Like they're actors. Like as soon as Gore comes and messes up the city, and King Valkyrie's trying to like get everything together, we got to go fix up. The actors are like, "Hey, so we were thinking." Like, yeah, it was very funny to have the actors
like
be
that.
Like, "It's an emergency. Let's start writing the new play."
Right.
Very funny. So all that stuff worked in the humor. I thought.
Yes. That's yes.
So that's why they have to go to Omnipotent City. They need a weapon that can fight Gore, and so Zeus's Thunderbolt, and they really want Zeus's help and the gods' help, but he's not gonna give it. So Zeus kills Korg, which is horrible. I mean, not kill. Sorry, he. It looks like he's dead. It's a head
too
fake.
Too many fake outs on
yeah.
death. Was...
He kind of kills Thor or Korg.
I mean, even Jane's almost a fake out.
Yeah,
like she's fine.
Yeah. But spoilers.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Korg, Zeus looks to kill Korg. Apparently Korg says, hey, we're fine as long as our head is still, like, we live in whatever. So mm-hmm. he crumbles.
Well, she's telling the story too, so I guess.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
No, he's not.
It's kind of weird with the time, but you're right. I guess he's narrating it from after the event. So anyway, Korg is fine. He's ahead. Tessa Thompson straps him to the back of her head, ties him
that's
with a mustache.
Funny. That was funny.
Mustache hair?
I like that.
And, but Thor, in a rage, when he thinks Korg's dead, gets Zeus's lightning bolt, and it looks like he kills Zeus. And that's where I thought, I'm like, that's kind of ballsy to kill Zeus.
Before that happened, they're, like, killing all those guards, right?
Yeah.
That's insane.
The guards doing their job, right?
They're just...
Yeah.
They're just
him.
People working in Omnipotent City, and they are murdering them. And then one of them dies, and they're like, right. Oh, okay, well, that's not...
I do always think that's weird in these movies where the good guys can kill the henchmen, but
yeah.
like the henchmen are just there. They're not like necessarily evil. They're just guards.
They're not even doing a bad thing. Thor said, will you help us? Zeus said, nah, man, sorry, can't do it. Maybe he should have, but like,
but right.
then Thor's like, well, I'm going to steal your stuff then.
Yeah.
They're the bad guys.
It is weird. I totally get what you're saying. So you're not supposed to think about that part of it, but he looks to kill Zeus. He has a hole through his chest. Like, he's dead as far as we know until after credits. But again, spoilers, he's not dead. So they take the lightning bolt and they go after Gore. I think one of the really cool sequences, probably my favorite part of the movie, is the Shadow Realm fight scene. I don't think we've mm-hmm. ever seen anything like it in a Marvel movie. It reminded me of like a stop motion monster feature.
It's like a Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, they're like it almost looks like they're fighting on the moon. There's this big and it looks practical. The set looks really practical. And they're like fighting on a moon and you see like they pan out and you see all the people fighting on different parts of the planet of the Shadow Realm. The monsters coming out of the shadows and I thought it was a really good fight sequence. Visually it was interesting. They've never turned a whole Marvel movie black and white for like an extended period of time. So I thought visually the most interesting thing in the film, it was a really cool fight. What happens there, Matt? He drops the Bifrost, or he steals the Bifrost, right? Stormbreaker?
No, that's where Jane walks into this little hut, and she sees the, like, ancient scroll that shows what that he needs Stormbreaker. That's how you open it. She throws Stormbreaker
to get rid of the...
Oh, and he does end up, I think...
But he gets it.
They get in a fight, and then Gore kind of wraps them all up in these vines and he's telling him to call the axe.
Yeah.
And then they fight for a while and then, he calls the Bifrost, but Gore grabs it at the last minute.
Pushes them through it. So
they get through and then he does have the axe. Well, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
What does Zeus's lightning bolt do? Why? What about that weapon?
Yeah, it's a little vague.
Important? It's a lightning bolt, man.
And I'll say, usually... Marvel's really good at this kind of stuff, like being just like good enough to be like, oh, he's weak to this because it's light or something like that. So just anything. Nothing in this other than like, I don't know.
Is just kind of like, we need the help of the gods. Who's a big god guy? Zeus. What does he do? Lightning bolt. Okay, got to get the lightning bolt.
Like,
there isn't really a reason.
Stormbreaker and Mjolnir seem
pretty powerful.
Fine. Like,
they need the lightning bolt, man. But you're right. It is, I think writing-wise, it is a weaker kind of a thing. It's just a MacGuffin. So anyway, so he gets Stormbreaker. King Valkyrie is damaged. She has to stay back at New Asgard.
Not dead. Don't worry.
No. But she gets hurt in the fight. Jane, meanwhile, is weak from the cancer stuff. And so she ends up having to go to the hospital. And basically, it's like, if you turn into Thor one more time, that's it. You're done. I mean, we know she's not going to, and she doesn't. But it's like, no, you got to stay and heal. And that's, for the best chance that we have. Thor and her are kind of back together. When they're on their way to the Shadow Planet, they have a romantic moment. And it's like, we're going to get back together. So he can't lose her at this point. He just got her back. Oh, he does the Heimdall thing. Heimdall is a son. So Heimdall died in Ragnarok, but he's trained his son to use the visions. And so as one of the kidnapped kids, he's able to use the vision to communicate with Thor. Thor is able to visit him when he does that and tells them, hey, it's going to be all right. We're coming for you.
Okay.
Please.
Look, this is one of those things of like the humor being like you're sort of like not ruining characters, not that extreme. But like when he's talking to those kids and Valkyrie's tickling his nose.
I know. It's like,
what
why would you be
doing
that? I know. That I thought the same thing. I'm glad you mentioned it. I didn't like that because I'm like, yeah, he's trying to talk to the kidnapped kids.
Right.
It's funny, like, because you're messing with him, like, like if you take it away from what he's doing.
Yes.
But that's not.
And again, right. It's just like,
pertaining,
okay,
to the story.
Yes,
yeah.
Whoever came up with this, like, that, yeah, that's kind of funny.
It was an improv thing. Like, oh, that would be funny.
But like, no, not.
Not in that moment. I agree. It's a valid concern, right?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's a serious plot point. Now Goraz the Bifrost, he is going to, he's using it to go to the center of the galaxy, and he's going to go get Eternity and get his wish. So Thor ends up, how do they get there?
They, so it's the, what do they do? It's the goats? Nah, man, this was a very, like, I always think of Thank You for Smoking when they're making the space movie. And so, and they say, yeah, like, oh, but you can't smoke in space. And someone says, oh, it's fine. We'll just have them say, oh, thank God we invented the thing that lets you smoke in space. Oh, what is it? Because they said we need, we can harness the power.
Storm?
They don't have Stormbreaker.
Yeah, he doesn't have it. So how do they get there?
Because they harness the power of Mjolnir? Or something into a ship. We just need a ship. And then Valkyrie's like, I have a ship, and it's one of those, like,
But that's how they get to the Shadow Realm. That was all before that.
Oh, so, was it? You're right.
Yeah, because Stormbringer was their power source for the ship.
Yeah, he taps Stormbreaker in, and I did think there were funny moments where Stormbreaker, is, like, thinks Thor is cheating on him with Mjolnir. Yeah. That was funny.
I thought that was funny until it went, like,
too far.
It went so far into, like, so are these things completely sentient creatures? Like, what is going on? I think he uses the lightning bolt.
Oh, does the lightning bolt power them? Okay.
You're right. I'm sorry. The boat stuff is before. That's not.
One way or another, they get to the kids, and Thor gets to the kids, and he's trying to save the day. It's just Thor now. Everyone else is laid out. He finds the kids, and he says, I need your help, basically. Like, I need you guys to fight. And I thought this was the third action sequence. It was really cool.
This was the highlight of the movie. When he gives the kids the power of Thor.
And the complaints online, child soldiers. Like, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Everyone complains about everything. It's obnoxious. This is a superhero movie. Thor temporarily gives the kids superpowers, and they fight. It's fun. They're using their teddy bears as
weapons.
They're
not child soldiers because he didn't find kids
and train them
and impress them into a war. These were kids who were been abducted, and he's giving them the power to
defend themselves
and get free.
I know.
That's not the same thing.
It never even entered my mind.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm just bringing it up because I'm trying to say why it's driving me so crazy this past week. The complaints are so, again, you cannot like a movie, but the reasons people are coming up with are bonkers to not like a movie. You give me any movie, whether it's a classic or not, I could find things to pick apart if my life's work was dedicated to picking them apart. These complaints
He's thinking about the cannoli at a time like this?
It's just crazy. So anyway, one of the best scenes, like you said, I mean, it is so fun.
I did want him to be dressed like little Thors.
They were all Thors.
Like, I wanted him to have the outfits on. Yeah. I thought, oh, I wish they were dressed like little Thors. But then the one kid was like in pajamas. I was like, that's pretty good. But then the other kids that were like more alien, it didn't look, because the one kid had like little footy pajamas and that was funny.
Yeah.
But then the other kids had like more like regal looking.
Oh.
I was like, well, that's not funny. He should be dressed like a little Thor.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's like, if you're mad about children soldiers, then what must you think of like Peter Pan?
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, right. When
Peter
the Lost
Pan's
Boys
canceled.
Are like, we got to fight. Cause,
yeah, you kidding me? Peter Pan canceled.
It's a really fun sequence. One of the highlights, I think there's those three. I think the New Asgard, the Shadow Realm, and this are all really good action sequences. They're fighting the shadow monsters. Meanwhile, Thor is fighting Gore. Gore's got him dead to rights. Him with the Necrosword is like too much. He's going to overpower him. Meanwhile, we've seen Jane is like questioning, like, I can't just sit in bed. Like,
she
I gotta
feel
help.
It. She's like getting like the lights are flickering and she's all getting. So she can like sense.
That wasn't a sound clip either. That was a very good recreation. So she shows up. Of course, we knew she was going to. She shows up as Mighty Thor. She's trying to hold things.
She takes
off.
The Pegasus. That's how she gets there.
Okay.
I remember that.
There you go. So she flies there, holds him off. Still, Gore's kicks everyone's ass, basically, and ends up getting to Eternity. And isn't Jane almost dead at this point?
So she...
It's her last moments.
Well, it's a kind of an interesting like movie thing where they do break the sword. Like, so they, like, mm-hmm. win, but then he also already opened, like it did open already before he could get Stormbreaker out.
It's like Rocky and Apollo Creed. They punch each other simultaneously.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, well, they still did good. They still accomplished
their thing.
They broke
the sword, but the they were using Stormbreaker to decrypt the World Tree emblem thing that got them in. But also, didn't he use a piece of the Necrosaurus to stab Jane? Like, she's dying.
I think she just used it all
She
up.
Used all her power. Yeah. Okay. So she's dying. He gets to eternity. And basically, Thor is like, I'm not even going to, like, at this point, the love of my life is dying. I'm not going to try to like stop you physically or whatever. But he calls out to him in his last breaths and is like, listen, you've got one wish. Why are you going to use it to kill everybody? He's like, the whole reason you're pissed off is that your daughter died. Just bring her back. Use your wish on that.
And this is all fine to me too. Like, because there's a thing of like, well, why didn't he think of this before? Of course he would have been thinking of this. But now the sword is broken and
also
gone.
In the heat, well, like, first of all, you're not usually thinking you can bring people back from the dead, right? He's seen Aladdin. What are the rules, right? Genie, no bringing people back from the dead. He doesn't know you can do that.
Right. He thought that
was a rule.
The rules.
So also, this makes me question. Black Widow is supposed to be dead, right?
She's dead.
Well, we've got a thing here that is can...
Is it only the first person that gets to it, though?
Well, my thought was this is very much like a Dragon Ball thing.
Okay.
I mean, are you familiar with the rules? Yes. You find it and make your wish, and that thing is gone to the next. Like, Eternity is not dead or anything now they made this wish. I'm guessing Eternity has moved on, but, like, Eternity still has this power.
Sure.
They play by the rules of you get one wish, but, like, Eternity can still grant.
See, that's a thing. Like, I've seen people saying, like, well, why didn't Thanos do this? And he didn't know about it, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's so weird what people decide to get hung up on.
I know, because you could play this game all day long.
Right.
Why did... That's the same thing with these heroes with powers. Once you get into all these powers, it's like, well, where was so-and-so, and why didn't they...
Because I do feel like Marvel is in a bit of a problem with, like, these gods, and what these gods are, and now there's multiverses. Is there another Zeus in the multiverse?
There must be. Yeah, there would have to be.
There must be. They all have.
But I'm saying, like, so at what point, there's not more than one, like, Watcher, right?
I don't think so.
I think
outside.
They're outside of all that.
So, like, but then, like, gods are, and I'm not saying, like,
I do
fine
think
being,
these
like,
Celestials,
gods are, like,
the
lesser...
Celestials live on their own thing. There's one Eternity, one Infinity, one Watcher, all the Celestials, there's one, because they're outside the whole multiverse.
So are there, okay. And again, I know I'm getting weird about, but I think this is a thing that Marvel is going to have to be kind of good at.
They're opening the door to a lot of possibilities.
Are there multiple Valhallas? Or is it full of Janes from all, you know what I'm saying? Like,
do they all go to the same Valhalla? If they
right.
Die?
And
oh.
I mean, I
know at some point you can't.
This becomes a thing where it's hard. Cause I'm all fine with hand waving a lot of stuff, but this is starting to become where it's like, well, hold on. So there are gods, but what's the deal? How?
Well, the other problem you're going to start getting is now these movies require you to watch the TV shows.
Oh,
we've never had this before,
right?
Yeah. So there's 28 movies maybe before this. This might be 29, I think.
Well, I mean, I don't think Multiverse of Madness makes a whole lot of sense if you haven't watched WandaVision.
And then Moon Knight deals with Egyptian gods, and there's tons of Egyptian gods, and they have different powers and things. Now, the Egyptian gods don't really interfere much, and now they show us what these gods were doing, so I don't know if they're a part of the whole thing. But they're starting to introduce so many different types of gods that can do different things. How do they all play together? How does that...
And I think we're... And again, like, right now, it's kind of fine, but if you go movie or two past this and you're getting more convoluted without explanations, then it's like, well, this is wild, man. It just doesn't make sense to a point that's like kind of not fun.
Sure. Yeah, they're going to have to be careful for sure. But so what the point is, they end up, Thor says, you know, I'm going to spend my last moments with Jane here, but you also can save the person you love. You hadn't thought of this. Wish for her back. Wish for your daughter back. And so I like this, though. I like that you understood the villain's motivation and the villain made the right choice in the end. I like that.
And he's out from under the control of the sword.
The sword's broken,
so
he can see it.
He can see clearly.
And now the sword is gone.
I like it.
So
I like it.
So
don't sing it. We'll have to pay for it.
No, I didn't. Yeah. So
it's a parody.
Weird Matt. we find out he wishes for the daughter back and says, you take care of her. Like, you protect her with your life. And so now he basically makes Thor promise that he will watch her. So this is a new character. There's no, Thor doesn't have this daughter in the comics. Love is a brand new character they've invented. So they're actually doing new stuff. So it's kind of interesting to, you know, we don't have anything to go based on, but Thor now has an adoptive daughter. And so that's the second meaning of the title, Love and Thunder.
Which I liked.
I liked that.
I like that.
I didn't see that coming at all. The title, and it's, you know, it still works for Jane and Thor, mm-hmm. but now it also means the daughter's name is literally Love.
Yeah. And I'm into the idea, because, like, I do feel like every Thor movie is kind of like, I don't know who I am. Yes, I do. And then he does it again and again and again. And now we're set up for a different kind of thing. He is a father, and it's, how does he deal with that and being a superhero?
And those moments were cute. That is his real daughter, by the way.
Oh, really?
Hemsworth's
that's
daughter.
Fun.
The pirate he makes out with on the flashbacks, whatever.
That's his daughter, too? Oh, no.
That's a bridge too far.
That's his wife. Another one of his sons is the young Thor that's growing up when Korg is telling the flashback. So, man, Hemsworth is making that Marvel money. He's planted. Now, think about it. Now they've invented a new character played by his daughter. Yeah. So
and those kids will never be poor because they can always appear at comic book conventions.
Yeah, right.
Oh, for sure. But think about it. Like,
Chris Hemsworth's daughter.
Yeah, the comic book.
Yeah, I was Love and Love and Thunder. Like, yeah.
Think about this, too, though. Like, now she's earning Marvel money. Chris Hemsworth has more money than, like, she'll never have to spend a penny of her money.
Right.
That Marvel money is going to sit there and grow. And when she's an adult, she'll have her own, I mean.
Do you think it's her in the next movie, that actress? Or do you think they get, like, an older, like, they go 5 years older or something?
That's a good question, because it starts to become questionable when you have a kid. Because now Love has Stormbreaker. Thor has Mjolnir back. So now it's like, are we really going to have that little of a kid out fighting and doing this stuff? You're right. They may age her up. I'm not sure.
And she's not great.
It's cute. It's just she's drawing on Mjolnir. It's just a cute thing.
She's a very cute kid. I don't know if she stays at that level of an actress. I don't know if I want a whole movie with her as a lead.
But she doesn't give much to... It's just
that's
cute
true.
Scenes, though. We haven't seen her actually.
I'm probably being too harsh. You're right.
It was a kid going like, I don't want to do that. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, I get what you're saying, but like, maybe if they do, we'll give her a chance to do something.
Okay. I'm on board.
She drew on a hammer and said, I don't want pancakes or something.
And it wasn't perfect.
Yeah. So anyway, so they leave. So the after credits sequence, there's... What are they, Matt? What order?
You get the lady poking Zeus's hole.
So we find out Zeus's alive.
It looks almost like they meant to CG in a towel or something. She's like holding nothing. I think maybe she has a little piece of something cloth. And it also looks like the scene was too long for her to like... You know, it's like a weird... She's not a background thing, but it's like they're like, oh, just sweep
like
this floor.
Like they had a looper.
And she's like, well, I sweep him, but I'm like, I would have been
done. You're right. She's sitting there like, my motivation was, you're dabbing this guy, and it's 4 minutes long.
I couldn't stop looking at it. It's so strange.
Couldn't stop looking at his hole. I get it.
Zeus is like, that sucked when Thor tried to kill me, but hey, y'all ever heard of Hercules? And then we see he's
Roy
gonna
Kent.
Send Hercules after. Yeah,
so that was
Thor.
the big surprise, and I know people were like spoiling it right after he got out of the movie, so it's nice if people could save that surprise that it was rumored Henry Cavill was going to be Hercules for a long time.
Oh, really?
And so it's kind of cool they got Brett Goldstein, who plays Roy Kent on Ted Lasso, fan favorite. Like, he's a great, great character, and Goldstein's amazing in that role. Do you guys watch Ted Lasso?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's good. You should watch it.
Roy Kent, right? I mean, he's awesome. So he's Hercules. He looks great. He looks like a Marvel Comics Hercules, like with the armor and the headband thing. You know, it's not like the Rock Hercules. It's the very Marvel, you know, Marvel-y looking, old school. And then what is the other?
And then the other one is Jane's dead, but
right.
Don't worry, it's fine.
We see Heimdall in Valhalla. We find out they set it up earlier. They remind you that if you die in battle, you get to go to Valhalla. So this opens up a lot of questions about, can they bring people back, right? So you've got the Warriors 3, who they killed in Ragnarok. They died in battle, so they got to be up there. Heimdall's up there. Now Jane, and she's not an Asgardian, but she ended up there. Because she died in battle, I guess. You know what I mean? So, like, but now you've got all these people we see are up there, and Heimdall, who has powers and stuff. So you wonder, I feel like that's kind of like they're on the bench. They're on the reserves, right? So they didn't kill them.
If they want to,
they
can.
Could But I just took it as like, oh, that's a nice little button.
A nice ending.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But they
does,
could.
It yeah. does feel like,
but they could show her body like drawn and quartered, and it's Marvel. They could bring right. her back if they wanted to.
But I think it was
the
nice...
only way they could definitively not bring her back is if she were to die in real life.
Hey, I don't know.
Even then, it's a jump ball.
Right. You never know with these things. So that's how it ends. I mean, it wasn't great, but it wasn't a travesty. I was entertained by it. You know,
That humor's tough for me. And like,
I think it's in the middle somewhere. Like, not the worst Marvel movie, but would I watch it before Iron Man 2? Yeah.
Yeah.
Would I watch it before Dark World? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of fun things. When Thor rides Stormbreaker like a witch.
That's funny.
That was funny, man.
That's funny.
The goats. I mean, there's some good stuff in it.
Definitely. I didn't like it overall. Like 5 or 6 out of 10 if I was doing that. Maybe even a 4, but that means a different thing in four is a terrible movie.
I gave it a B-, which I think is very close. Like when you're talking a 5 or 6 out of 10, that's a C. You know, Rotten Tomatoes is a C, can be positive or negative. I give it a B-. You know, I was hovering between C plus, B-. So like, that's kind of where I'm at. I think it was fine. It was okay.
I'm like in between you two.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was great. I was frustrated because I liked Ragnarok and I wanted this to be so much better than it was.
Yeah.
And, but is this an awful movie? Not by any stretch of the imagination, in my opinion. Like, it's a disappointment on some levels, but overall, like, I had an enjoyable time. I was engaged.
Yeah.
It wasn't one of those movies. Like, a lot of those DC movies, man, I am checking my watch.
Oh, for sure.
Right. This movie isn't boring. No. Like, if anything, it's too crazy.
It's this thing of every time they do one of those scenes or that humor thing, I'm like rolling my eyes in it, and it's taking me out of it in a way that then I have to, like, get back in.
Yeah.
And then they're doing something cool for a minute, and then they go, I guess that's going to leave a mark. And I'm like, oh.
I know. They shouldn't undercut the important stuff going on. That's the problem. When the humor undercuts the plot of the movie, when you've got someone being goofy for goofy's sake, but he's doing something serious, like, that takes you out of it. I agree.
Yeah.
Any of those times where they have to get the joke in there during serious stuff, I think that could have
lost. And it just feels like a movie then. Like, it's very much like, oh, this is fake.
Right.
Yeah. I know it's fake, but you get what I mean.
You're not drawn into their world in the same way. Totally.
When you do that in a comedy, a non-superhero comedy, you're like, okay, they're having fun, they're improvising, and you just don't think of it. But this is a movie where there's a lot of stakes.
Yeah.
You've got all gods, all world, whatever. Do you think Marvel's kind of painted themselves into a corner because they made 23, you know, really solid movies, but also that led up to this incredible thing, and now they're just kind of making like when a comic comes out and it's just a story, but it's not great, and you forget about it. Like, the movies are kind of like that.
It's interesting that we're not, as far as I can tell, going
building
anywhere.
Towards something.
Yeah, still.
They're planting the seeds, but you don't, like, they're not saying Secret Wars. They're not, like, Thanos was the big threat.
I feel like Phase 4 will end with something, and then Phase 5 will be an official, now we're
that
building to something. But I think they know they can't always be building to something. And so
is it okay to just tell a story to be entertaining, and that's enough?
Like, not to nerds.
But why do people, it's like, I think they spoiled us because those movies, most of them were so good.
If you got this Thor movie 15 years ago, people would be jizzing all over it. There'd be Oscar
Marvel's
buzz.
Trained,
like,
Marvel's trained people, though, that their movies are so good and they're so connected.
And if this was a DC movie, same thing.
Yeah.
People would be raving about it. It's like when the smartest kid in the class does B work and everybody's in the teachers, you know, like, well, we know Timmy can do better than this.
Yeah.
Which I think is a different way to arrive at the point you're making.
Yeah.
Which is that because we've seen I will say this, true cinematic greatness from these films. Like what
Endgame is
what they
masterful.
Achieved in phase 1 and 2 and 3, I forget what ends where, but what they achieved over the course of those 23, 24 movies to tell one cohesive story without ever making it feel like you couldn't just drop in at any point.
Yeah.
And the way that these characters would weave in and out of each other's movies, like it was a stunning cinematic achievement, and I think it gets overlooked because it's one of those things where Well, their success was seen at the box office, mm-hmm. so film people don't take it as seriously as maybe right. they should, but that was a hell of an achievement.
Yeah, and yeah. but I think when they don't do that, it doesn't make the movies a zero or a one, right?
Right.
Like, for some reason, and again, this is the world we live in, but if they don't make that great of an achievement, all of a sudden it's the worst movie ever.
Yeah.
But, like, that movies can just be entertaining. Like, they yeah. can just be okay. That doesn't mean they're awful.
Right.
You know, so it's just a very weird world we live in. And
yeah.
I don't know, but it yeah. was fine.
It's yeah. fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, I think we all agree. It was fine. Yeah. So, anyway, that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Well, I started a new podcast.
Oh.
My friend Joe, at Joey Butts on Twitter.
21.
Sorry, thank you. 21.
You don't know what you'll get if you search for Joey Butts.
We're going through the Evil Dead franchise.
Uh-huh.
Podcast is called Real Spoilers Patreon. So check it out.
Episode is out now.
First episode's out. We've got some great guests coming up. It's Kevin Bucket? I believe
Kevin R. Bucket
gonna be on the Evil Dead 2 episode, so it's really exciting. And so yeah, check it out.
Where can I find that?
Is it Real Spoilers Patreon?
Just type that in. Okay,
yeah, I'm sure you'll find it. Okay. Real Spoilers,
it's out there somewhere.
patreon.com/spoilmebaby or something. I'm not exactly sure.
dirtypiratehookers.com.
All right, it still works. Oh, and I have to say something. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett and listen to the Games We Love podcast.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and don't forget the aforementioned Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Gabe is turned to stone.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, 'cause we already warned ya. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.